thank you very much, Harry, for your warm welcome. Nice to be back preaching here again. And lovely to be sharing in the worship too. I think we've had a special time together this morning. Let us pray. O God, who caused the light to shine out of darkness, we pray thee to shine into our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of thy glory and the face of Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and honor forevermore. Amen. Now, I think this morning I'll start by reading the psalm. We had a reference to the psalm already in our worship. It's psalm number 98, and the sermon is based on this psalm. So I shall just read the words of it for you. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He's remembered the love and faithfulness of the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song and music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and all that is in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. I want us to think about the first verse of this psalm as we begin. Psalm 98, verse 1, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. I wonder if you noticed as we read this 98th psalm that it's a great hymn of praise and glory to God as God's people meet to worship him. Of course, in every generation, new hymns and songs and choruses have been written and published, and yet the oldest hymn book of the church, the Psalter, a book of Psalms, has never lost its appeal for Christian people. The reason why Christian people have always been drawn to the Psalms is that they speak the universal language of the human soul. Whatever our spiritual mood may be, there is sure to be a psalm which reflects it. Whether it's triumph or defeat, excitement or depression, thanksgiving, joy or sorrow, praise or penitence, wonder or anger. So as we meet to worship God this morning, we notice that this Psalm 98 declares the greatness of the living God as creator, sustainer, king, savior, and judge. Now, as you listen to Psalm 98 being read today, I wonder if you sense the psalmist's view of what our praise should be like, what it should be about. I wonder if you sense the great note of praise and adoration running through every verse of this great psalm. It appears to me as if the psalmist just overflowed with joy as he considered the greatness and the power and the goodness and the majesty and the salvation of the Lord whom he worships. Listen to him calling on the redeemed and indeed the whole creation to praise the Lord. In Psalm 98, verse 4, he says, shout to the Lord, all the earth, burst into jubilant song with music on the harp and trumpet and blast of the ram's horn and with the sound of singing. Nature, too, is to praise the Lord. Verse 7 says, let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands and let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, he says, for he comes to judge the earth. Yes, indeed, the psalmist just overflows with joy as he cries out in the opening verse of this thrilling psalm, O sing to the Lord. Notice there's no sadness or defeatism here. In fact, the psalmist simply cannot hold back a great shout of praise as he contemplates the glory and the majesty and the greatness of his Creator King and Savior God. And what a truly magnificent conception of God we're given in this psalm. In verse 2 we read that the Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. Verse 3 tells us that he has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Verse 6 tells us to shout for joy before the Lord the King. Yes, our God is Lord and King of the whole universe. He reigns, and he is in control of the whole universe. A similar theme is found in Psalm 96, verse 10, when the psalmist says, "Tell it out among the nations that the Lord reigns, that he is King." And finally, in Psalm 98, verse 9, we're told that the Lord will come in the future to judge the earth in righteousness and in truth. Yes, indeed, this psalm contains a breathtaking picture of the power and the glory of the Lord the King. He is great. He is Creator. He's done marvelous things in salvation. He is a loving, faithful God who reigns, and one day he will come again as judge. Now, if we're to ask the psalmist how we're to worship and what we're to sing, I think he would reply in the words of verse 1 of Psalm 98, "O sing unto the Lord a new song." Now, if you look at Psalm 96, you'll find there the same exhortation to sing a new song. Now, it's an interesting study to observe how often a new song is mentioned in the Bible. Let me just quote one taken from the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. This lesson that was read for us today, in the fifth chapter of that book, the Apostle John describes a wonderful vision that he saw in the heavens as the glorified representatives of the redeemed gathered before the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, on the throne of heaven. And then John says they sang a new song. And John recorded the words of this new song, which are addressed to the Lord Jesus, the Lamb, in the midst of the throne, who over 2,000 years ago was introduced by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Listen again to the words of this new song. Notice the main theme in Revelation 5 is about the Lamb and redemption and the shed blood of Christ. This new song addressed to the Lord says, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you are slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." This song is new because it tells us about God's full, perfect, and final act of salvation in Jesus Christ as he died on Calvary. It is God's final and last word to us about salvation. All that has happened in the Old Testament and was foretold in the Old Testament has been finally completed in him. And this new song celebrates that fact. Yes, this new song, too, speaks of what the Lord Jesus has done for us by the death that he died in our place on Calvary, and that he was slain so that he might redeem us, that is, bring us to God. He did so by the blood shed for us on the cross. And this means that if we're saved by being washed in the blood, if we're forgiven by his death, we have a right to enter his presence, worship him, and glorify his name. That is, if we belong to the Savior. And notice that just as in the psalmist's day, and before it too, verse 2 of Psalm 98 says that the Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. In the Old Testament, the nation saw God's mighty act of salvation at the Red Sea, saving them from their enemies, bringing them back from Babylon, and so on. Yes, he's done marvelous things in the past, says the psalmist. And not just in the past. The Apostle John, in his day, we find there that he says that Christians want to praise God for the most marvelous thing of all that must be at the very center of our worship. And what must be the very center of our worship? The cross. Yes, the Savior dying on the cross and rising again. The psalmist sums it up in verse 3 of Psalm 98. He remembered his love and faithfulness to the house of Israel and to us too. And right back to creation, we see that love and faithfulness there as well. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Remember, in the past, God spoke and the universe rolled off his fingers. That thought blows the mind, doesn't it? Do we know what is even more staggering? On a tiny speck in the middle of all that majesty is a fleck of a planet called Earth, on which lives the human race. For a reason beyond our understanding, God created us and claimed us as his own because he loved us. He not only loved the human race, but he loves me and you too. Can you believe it? And yet, in spite of such grace, we humans have considered ourselves so great that we justify shaking our fists in the Creator's face and turning on our heels and plunging into the sewer of sin that is responsible for so much of the pain that we see in the world around us. But despite all that, God came to us in his incredible love, seen in the person of Jesus Christ, his Son, who died on the cross. Surely that says to you and me, I love you. No, we cannot fully grasp the greatness and the love and the faithfulness of God. Someone once said that unless we continually remind ourselves of the cross of Christ in our worship, we will forget it and lose our love for him. Sometimes, you know, it's vital that we stop and sit down and sit still and just know that he is God. And just let that fact sink into our hearts and minds. And there's something else that we should remember too. As a translation of the Bible called The Message puts it, translating Romans 8 verse 39, it reads, nothing can get between us and God's love. Nothing is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us. There's no way, not troubles, nor hard times, nor hatred, nor hunger, nor homelessness, or anything else. None of these things face us because Jesus Christ loves us. And I'm absolutely convinced that nothing can get between us and God's love. This is the love and faithfulness that must be at the very center of our worship, of the worship of the redeemed. And it is at the center of the worship of the redeemed in heaven. And as verse 3 of Psalm 98 puts it, all the ends of the earth will hear and see the salvation of our God. Verse 4 says we're to shout for the Lord. And we did that this morning. We're to shout for the Lord, for joy because of who the Lord is and what he's done for us. We're to make music to the Lord. As an earlier Psalm 96 verse 2 says, we're to sing to the Lord and praise his name, proclaim his salvation from day to day. Yes, my friends, we are to proclaim him and his salvation in our worship, in our lives, in our witness. We must be sharing the good news, telling of his salvation. If the whole earth is to hear the gospel and meet the Savior, if the whole earth is to sing praise to the Lord. How long is it since you last tried to witness for the Savior? And share with someone what he's done for you in your life. The most precious thing that a person can know is the good news of the great salvation that is to be found in Jesus. If people's lives are to be really satisfied, they must yield their lives to Christ, be cleansed from their sins by his precious blood. And just as God called Israel of old to be a light to the Gentiles, so too he's depending on us to share with those with whom we come into contact, so they too might know the joy of sharing our lives with him. You see, the greatest need of all mankind is to know Jesus. To know him, love him, and be committed to him. And then becoming more like Jesus as we live for him day by day. As I said earlier, Jesus loves you with a deep, intense love that took him to the cross. And he desires to have a relationship with you and give you a life full of joy and purpose and praise. So why do you need him? Why do I need him? First, because you have a past, and so have I. My friends, you can't go back, but he can. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can walk right into those places of sin and failure and wipe the slate clean by his blood and give you a new beginning. Behold, I make all things new, says God. And if you need him because of your past, he alone can deal with our past. If we ask him. And second, we need him because we need a friend. Jesus Christ knows the worst about you and me. And yet he knows the best. Why? Because he sees you not just as you are, but as you will be when he gets through to you, when you put your whole life finally and securely into his hands so that he can cleanse you by the blood of his cross. And what a friend he is, reliable and good and loving and faithful and true, someone who will never let go of us. Yes, he's a wonderful friend. And then finally, we need Jesus because he holds the future too. Your future. Listen, who else are you going to really trust? In his hands, you're safe and secure today and tomorrow and forever. Because the Lord deals with our past through the cross, because he's our best friend, because he holds us and holds our future. Surely we want to sing that new song of praise and thanksgiving to our Savior God about this wonderful new creation. It must be at the very center of our worship. Surely we want to shout with joy before the Lord the King. Yes, the Lord reigns over the whole earth. And as you look out across the world today and see the world's great men and women whose policies determine the welfare of mankind, do you think that Barack Obama and Putin and Angela Merkel and so on, do you think that it's these great people who will determine which way the world will go in the future? Think again, for the Lord God is greater than the world's great men and women. The Lord is King. The Lord reigns over our creation. That is why we must worship him. Worship him with joy and with all our hearts and all our being. The Lord God alone is sovereign ruler of the universe, and it's under his control, and he's not vacated his throne. All things are subject to him. And if this is so, our hearts should not fail us for fear, but we should be absolutely sure that God's purposes of love will finally triumph. This is brought out clearly by the concluding verse of Psalm 98. In verse 7 we read, Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands together and let the mountains sing together for joy. Notice here in these concluding verses, Psalm 98, even the inanimate elements of God's creation join the human chorus to celebrate the goodness of God in creation and blessing and redemption. All creation is to be delivered from the bondage of sin. There's no depression or anything like that here, but all our rejoicing is done, as the last verse of the psalm puts it, before the Lord. Why? For he comes to judge the earth with righteousness, to judge the world and his people with his truth. Yes, the Lord will come again. The Savior promised before he died, if I go away, I will come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How much does it mean to you that Jesus is coming again? Is your whole life focused on the fact that one day you will see Jesus? Does the idea that Jesus will return fill you with joy? Or does it frighten you? You see, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you've given your life to the Lord Jesus, the idea of Jesus coming and taking us to be with him can only fill us with joy. Have you ever seen children waiting for their father and mother to come home from work in the evenings? Toys and games and computers and all the rest of it are all forgotten as they crowd around the window and wait to see that beloved figure striding up the garden path, and with a shout of joy they rush out to meet him or her. There's no doubt where their hearts are. They really love their father or mother. But do you really love Jesus? Is your heart longing for the Lord Jesus to come back and take you to himself? Are you ready to meet him today? The psalmist solemnly warns us, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. God grant that he should appear, if he should appear on the clouds of heaven today, with those who have died in faith, we should be ready. Yes, ready to be caught up together with them in the air, and so be ever with the Lord. And the only way to be ready is to be able to say, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. A new song that we've been thinking about today. Can we say that? It's our deepest need. And his salvation can be ours if we ask him into our hearts and lives. If you've never done so before, and if you would like to begin a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, will you pray this prayer with me in the quiet your heart? Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong in my life. I ask your forgiveness and now turn from everything that I know to be wrong. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, to set me free from my sins. Please come into my life, remake me, and fill me with your Holy Spirit to be with you forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.